Hello, hello, and welcome to the Jerick Show. I, as always, am your handsome host, Javad Malik, and we have got an amazing show lined up for you today where you can learn all the amazing, greatest, latest security news from around the world.
Welcome to the Jerick Show, featuring your hosts, Javad Malik and Eric Krohn. Timely topics, poorly presented.
Yes, yes, yes. Timely topics, poorly presented indeed. And speaking of poorly presented, how you doing,
Hello.
Eric?
It's good to be in the same room for an episode for a change instead of across the sea.
Yeah.
I think it's good to be here.
At least one of us is happy.
Yeah, so this is an extra special episode as we're here together
in sunny Florida.
Sunny Florida. Yeah. Yeah. So, Jawad, you got to play Farmer Jav yesterday, didn't you?
I did. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Eric took me down to his land that he's developing into his new off-grid home and farm and what have you. And he was like, oh, do you want to check out my John Deere tractor? And I was like, yeah, show me. And then next thing I know, I'm doing manual labor for the next 3 hours, clearing logs and everything and what have you.
You know,
it was actually good fun. It was quite.
If you scroll down over here on the right, you might actually have, is it down or up? Maybe up. Let's see if it down. Keep going down. Keep going down. There it is, Farmer Jav.
Oh,
look at
my
that.
Gosh.
Oh, yeah. I was going to throw that up there. But since we're both on the same computer sharing it right now, why don't you go ahead and click on that bad boy, Jav?
I have. Yeah, it's not working. This is a background.
Muppet. Oh, hey, well, I don't know. Take us off. That was a good time.
Oh, huh? Wow. Yeah. I'm just, next time I'll come, I'll bring my dungarees and, you know, go full on Uncle Jesse.
Yeah, yeah. So. Well, it's about time you did something worthwhile.
Okay, so. Sacre bleu.
Oh.
An 840-bed hospital in France postpones procedures after a cyber attack.
Saw that.
Hospital de Cannes. Is this where the Cannes Film Festival is held?
I'm just going to say yes with authority, even
yes.
though I don't really know. Yes with authority.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like forcing staff to go back to pen and paper.
You know, every time I read one of these goings on here, it does make me think, first of all, it's probably ransomware. It's always ransomware on this, right?
Yeah.
That's just,
yeah.
So it locks up all the records. And no doctor in their right mind or anesthesiologist or anyone in the medical profession is going to go in and do a procedure without being able to actually see their charts and their history. And even look at x-rays these days, they're all digital, right? So it's no wonder it just shuts things down like this for these especially elective or non-critical types of things. I mean, we saw this with NHS when it got hit with WannaCry.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of hospitals are getting hit all around the world nowadays. Like you see several in the US and across Europe. And it's not just hospitals, but a lot of medical facilities. So
yeah.
There was one where the psychiatric hospital in France again, maybe, or
yeah.
somewhere in Europe, that was Switzerland, maybe. And patient records were stolen and everything. So the impact of this is really big.
Well, it's kind of a perfect leverage for these bad actors when they hit them with ransomware, because you have the pressure of having to actually go and get stuff going, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you have procedures, you have people that really need to do things immediately, if not sooner. But then there's the secondary piece, which is the other part of the extortion, which is those medical records and being able to leverage that for money.
Yeah.
To get them to pay the ransom. So it's no wonder why hospitals and medical facilities are hit so much with ransomware.
Yeah.
It's like manufacturing. They can't stop the line and there's intellectual property involved. So they have a lot of leverage on that too.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's these things that are time sensitive that really, really seem to fare poorly.
Yeah. Although attacking a French hospital is pretty pointless because in the what you're going to get from the medical records. Ah, Pierre, he drinks too much wine. He eats too much cheese. He broke a wrist while participating in some riots. You know, so that's that. Anyway, the Beeb. Police bust global cyber gang accused of industrial scale fraud.
Yes. So this was a group. It was a like Lab Host. It was called the site was Lab Host.
Yeah.
So they helped facilitate a lot of fraud and stuff. And then we're a bunch of 37 people that were arrested in this. And you know, it just makes me feel good to see stuff like this happening for a change. I don't know about you, but whenever I do talks, half the time people are like, well, why don't we just arrest these people?
Yeah.
And it's not that simple. A lot of times it's because we don't have the ability to extradite where they're at. It's always this international kerfuffle. And it's nice to see every once in a while that somebody gets busted. Although I will say this, you have 37 people and they're saying they made nearly $1.2 million in profits. So if you break that down, it's not that much. If they use their skills for good as opposed to evil, they would be getting much, much better return, to be honest. And I mean that sincerely.
Like, exactly.
I hate to see it when this kind of stuff happens where people are using their skills to make a pittance, really, and other people are suffering from it.
Yeah. I think what's interesting is, like, you know, they're identifying the victims. The police are trying to get in touch.
Yeah.
I don't know what the what the text message or the SMS sent says, but I'd be really suspicious.
I knew where you were going with that. Like, yeah.
You got to get a message saying, hello, this is the police. Your details have been found. Okay.
Click here to claim your whatever. Yeah. No, that's a great point because that's got to sound like every fakery that's ever gone on. Nobody ever hears about this. And then to get that, I'd be really on edge about that too. Mm. But it was definitely nice to see this happen.
It was. It's always a great story. And riding the high
of
that.
Yes.
Hive Rat Creators.
Yes.
And a $3.5 million crypto.
Those dirty rats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So these... There's two individuals who've been arrested in Australia and the US because they were developing the rat called Hive.
Hive.
Yep. Previously Firebird. And now this really got me thinking. I said, this is a bit like when you read about legit companies. Oh, this company who was acquired by this and has formed now called this. It's like, why?
Yeah. Interesting enough. I mean, we're talking 24-year-old person. In LA, and it's what is kind of cool about this is there are undercover employees of law enforcement agencies that are out there like, hey man, got any rats? How do you do that? But I just thought it was great to see this happen again more and more often. Now, they were saying the investigation started back in like 2020. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of wondering, in that 4 years, how much did we spend in order to apprehend these individuals? And
But, you know, this one of the things, I mean, when you're tracking down the baddies, you can't always rely on
money
is no object. It's not about that. But these are far more clever than the previous criminals, because at least this is 3.5 million.
Yeah, they've made a few.
Divided bucks. Between two.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there's other people involved.
Well, okay. There's...
They busted two.
Yeah, they busted. True.
All right. Good point. But there's still quite a bit more money.
Yeah.
It is a very lucrative thing, and it does draw people in pretty quickly. And that's unfortunate, but hey, you know. Now what's going to happen is the guy in LA, he's going to turn his life around and now he's going to work for the good folks, right? I mean, that's a lucrative way to do it. Yeah. I mean, we've seen it. And it's not bad if they actually start helping white hats out. But maybe that's the ticket, man.
Maybe that is.
You know what? We should do that for like a week where we go black hat and then we change to white hat a week later and then we can write a book about it.
You know, I think like these are things that if you do in your 20s and you can spend 5 years locked up and then come out in your 30s and then you still have like a good career path ahead.
So what you're saying is we don't have that much left.
We don't have that much. Yeah,
on the end of our ticker here. No. And, let's not waste it pulling off stuff like this.
Exactly.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah. Okay.
Frontier Communications.
Yeah.
Cyber attack
here. I know. So after AT&T a few weeks ago, it looks like you know, telecom is the flavor of the month in the US. So you know, it's big. 25 states, you know, it's, but they discovered the incident, forced to shut down to prevent threat actors from laterally moving through the network, which also led to some operational disruptions. Which all sounds really good.
Yeah, well, you know what? Out on the farm, Frontier was giving us our fiber out there. Mm. And I didn't notice any issues with it, but we didn't do a whole lot. But yeah, the fact that they're going after these telecom companies and being successful is a little bit spooky. I mean, we talk about critical infrastructure, right? And we talk about things like gas and electric and stuff like that. But I would say that anymore, internet access is right up there with those needs.
It's in the Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
It absolutely is. Yeah. And it's one of the base elements of that.
Yeah.
And so the fact that they're being successful is unfortunate and challenging. I don't know. Maybe it was just straight ransomware. Oh, Randy's back. Hey, man. Would it be easier for this company not hit by ransomware?
Yeah.
You know, and it's unfortunate. It does happen very often. We see it all the time. I try not to shame those organizations because honestly, I mean, it happens to, it's easy to have it happen.
Yeah.
Now we do need to work on how we're doing our defense a little bit more, I think. And especially if they've been hit once, I hate to see them get hit a second or third time. That's what frustrates me more than anything else.
It's a tough one, isn't it? Because like you said, you don't want to victim blame.
Right.
But then if someone's getting beat up time and time again, there comes a point where...
Yeah, there's a certain password vault that we've seen have troubles a couple times, and I will no longer recommend them to people. Not because I'm worried about those passwords actually getting out there, because I don't think it's going to happen.
No.
They are encrypted and stuff, but it tells me if they've been hit several times, there's an inherent issue within the organization.
I think these were all since they got acquired.
I think it
and
is.
And then, like, you could tell, like, the culture is not that invests or takes it seriously enough.
And you know all about, like, clashing cultures, right? Alienware and then to a large...
Alien Vault.
Or Alien Vault. Yes, not Alienware. Alien Vault.
Yeah.
Which was it's really fun company. I remember when you were there, I remember seeing you, like, black hat and stuff.
Yeah.
And they had a margarita machine and stuff going. And some of the
we had a cow suspended over the...
Yeah, like, super, super fun culture. And then they got acquired by a corporate giant.
Complete opposite end of the spectrum.
And those kind of clashed a little bit there. And you see that in organizations sometimes. And I agree. Like, I was a big fan of that password vault.
Me too. I had it for years.
Yeah.
And now I moved away.
Yeah. Unfortunate, but it is what it is. I'd rather see people use password vaults, though. So... what do we got? Co-hosting free cybersecurity. Yes. Okay, so yes, we definitely want to do that. Randy, do me a favor and resend me that link, would you? I haven't had a chance to promote that again. I know that something about hitting publish maybe had happened. So if you want to pop us a link again, we'll throw it down in the chat. So. Yeah, this is cool stuff. And you know what? Cybersecurity training for kids this summer. I like to see that. One of these ones that I saw, it was in one of the stories here, I think. They were talking about how, it was the Hive, not the Hive one, but the other one, the HostLog or log host one. Mm-hmm. They were talking about how the people that fell for the phishing attacks most were actually the people that were born and raised on computers and stuff.
Yep.
And it's interesting because we always assume that, like, you know, my kids would know about cybersecurity. A lot of this generation, they're comfortable in the UI. They're comfortable about around electronics. But you peel that layer back one level and they have no idea how to fix stuff that's going on underneath. That's just kind of what happens here. So it's interesting to see those most comfortable are the ones that are actually falling for these phishing attacks, or those ones more often. We don't think that way a lot.
Yeah, maybe they have less concept of stranger danger because it's not a physical thing. Mm-hmm. Stuff that was drilled into us as kids.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, although we were having that chat yesterday with my fam when you were here about the TikTok guys and the OSINT, the ability to find somebody off like 10 seconds worth of video that they're doing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a dangerous thing.
It was great.
It was great.
I was the bad influence uncle, like telling their kids, TikTok's perfectly safe. Don't listen to your parents. And so I'm like the favorite uncle, but the I don't think I'll be invited around for any more family dinners. So anyway, that was the show. This is the best way. This is the only way I can do to kick him off. But go away. No one wants to see your face anymore. See you again next week, everyone. Stay secure and look after each other. See.
Bye-bye.
This is Eric's breakfast, a big gulp
of champions.
Such an American thing.